Good morning. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
And amen again.
Amen.
If there are no worshipers outside, if they all allow them to enter, if they're not, you can go ahead and shut the doors. Thank you, ushers. Thank you so much. Psalm 146, the first two verses says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto the Lord, unto God, my God, while I have any being." This is our call to worship. Let us pray. O Lord, we are here to praise your name. And Lord, it's me once again seeking your face on behalf of this congregation. Loving God, our Father, we've made it this way and this far by you. So we whisper praise out of our hearts, out of our minds, out of our souls, out of our spirits. And we lift it up to you today as we sing, as we give offering, as we testify through sermon what a great God you are. Lord God, over 20 years ago, a horrible event happened in this country. We didn't know which way we would turn. But, oh God, we turn to you. And you've been faithful enough to lead us this far, because things could have been another way. Thankful for our republic that still stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So, Lord God, for these, your people, who love you so much, we are here today to worship who you are, what you are, and why you are. For it is in Christ Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen. Amen. This morning's hymn, you can find it in the African American hymnal in front of you, number 439, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Please stand and sing with us, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior."
Oh,
verse 4.
Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me, whom have I on earth beside thee?
Savior, Savior,
Savior, Savior,
hear
my humble
cry.
While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. So much lost in the theology and hymnology of our church. Yes, all four verses. Do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. How many of you all marked by his blood? And if you're marked by his blood, you won't be passed by. Amen. Amen. Who is our responsive reading? Okay, Sister Wilson, thank you so much.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Responsive reading number 17 from our African American hymnal, Old Testament, entitled Good Shepherd. Let us read responsively. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
Wolves and shepherds destroy and scatter sheep on my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds, you shepherd my people.
It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord.
Hear, hear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, for thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out.
I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed together. And I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice.
Let us stand. Gillis will come at this time to recognize our visitors.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a blessing it is to be here today and to just have the opportunity to be in fellowship with one another for the purpose of serving and praising God. This is the time in our order of service that we pause to welcome all of our guests and each one of you to be here today. So if we have visitors, would you please stand and be acknowledged? Please tell us who you are, if you're visiting with someone, and your church affiliation. And you can take your mask off so we can hear if you like. Okay. Okay, awesome. Very good. Well, thank you for stopping by to be with us, and you can come back again and again and again. So thank you for being here to worship with us today. I have just a few announcements today. We'll start by saying that the moderator is scheduling an executive board meeting, so just stay tuned. She's gonna send things out in the one call. Today is Grandparents' Day, so I'm gonna ask all of our grandparents to please stand. Okay, that speaks volumes. All right, because you're standing, you know what a pleasure it is to be a grandparent. It is. It's actually more fun than being a parent, isn't it? Yeah, I know. One reason Grandparents' Day was established was to help our children become aware of the strength, the information, and guidance we as grandparents can offer. So today, what I'm asking you to do is to share a story with the grandchild, some family history, or just some words of wisdom, because our kids definitely need to hear from us, don't they? You all know I work in the school system. They definitely need to hear those words of wisdom. So thank you for standing, and happy Grandparents' Day.
Thank you.
I want you to look in your bulletin to see all of the birthdays and anniversaries that we have. Last Sunday, we sung to all of the September birthdays. But for this week, we have Marcus Payne, who's celebrating tomorrow. We have Sammy Davis, who's celebrating tomorrow. We have Jordan Chadman on the 14th. And not in your bulletin is Jemiah Reese, who is also celebrating tomorrow. So happy birthday to each and every one of you. We have two opportunities for Bible study this Wednesday. This past Wednesday was our first, so you can join the pastor and all of us at 12 or at 5:30. I think you'll see that it is truly a blessing. And if you have not gotten the book, it is this one, Experiencing God. There's a lot of work to be done, I have learned over the week in this book, but it's well worth the work, and I'm sure the pastor will have other words for you. I want you to continue to pray for our sick and our shut-in. And I thought about this. I know we said we've been praying for the moderator. She's sick and shut-in. I don't think she's too sick, because she's sending out one call. She's sending out announcements. She sent me a text this morning, don't forget to say this. But we're going to continue to pray for her. We're praying for her because we miss her, and we're excited for her to come back, especially since I've got to do announcements. I want you to also remember the Queen of England as you go throughout this day, and her family as well. In the pastor's prayer, he mentions September the 11th, what we all know is 911. Today is 911, September 11th. We know the devastation that our nation experienced 21 years ago. But I want us to take a moment of silent reflection to pray for our nation and all of the families who were directly impacted by the hatred of 911. Let's pause for reflection. Amen. Thank you. This leads us to our thought for the week. And I want you to really think about this one. Life is short, and there's really no time for hatred. I want you to remember the days after 9/11. And I want you to remember the words of former President Barack Obama, and they are these. even the smallest act of service, the simplest act of kindness, is a way to honor those we lost, a way to reclaim the spirit of unity that followed 911. This week, church, I want you to show just a random act of kindness to someone you don't know. We're always doing things for each other, those we know, but show a random act of kindness for someone you don't know, even if it's just opening up a door or picking up something someone dropped rather than passing by it. So church, think about someone else this week. Show a random act of kindness, and let's pray always. Have a great week.
We'll be moving forward with song from our choir. Of the psalmist, oh, magnify the Lord with me. We will rejoice and be glad. Amen. Just a quick thought. So we were talking about, my sister Kim Gillis was talking about the experience in God. So we have Bible study on two different times on Wednesday. We offer Bible study at 12. That way, if there are some state employees, you can come. Sister Felicia Gamble brought one person with her from the law office and tells Xavier he's missing church. So he told me he was coming. Tell him I'm going to hold him to that. Yeah. I had to watch them lawyers. You know, they crucified Jesus, so they quick to say one thing and do something else. But I'll be over to visit him. So 12 o'clock and then again at 5:30. Journals. Remember I told you I was going to have my journal. I'm a leader, so I believe in modeling leadership. I have my journal. I have my prayer book and my book bag and my Bible and my devotional. So your journals, you really should have those with you. That way you're able to take notes and remember things and recite things later on in the evening when you have your time of prayer. So we look forward to seeing you. Sister Gillis showed you all the book. 20 years ago, around this time, the towers had already fallen. I was a South Precinct Birmingham police officer, and I came into the house, and I was at that time living with my grandfather, helping take care of him. And he told me, as he normally says in his southern Utah, Alabama accent, "Boy, cut that turn back to that channel. I want to show you something that's going on." And at that time, you know, the towers had been impacted by the airplane. What you all don't know is what really happens in the world during those times. And I'm going to share something with you real quick. My best friend is a special forces officer. He's a Green Beret. At the time, he was leading a special forces team. So that was before the war actually started. When I saw that on TV, with my military mind, the very first thing that popped in my head was, call Neil. His name is Neil Tater. So I called Fort Bragg. I called his cell phone first. No lines. I called, the next call was to his house. I couldn't get through. I called his wife. Line was dead. They had cut the lines at Fort Bragg. They already knew that we were under attack. We have lost some of this country's best blood. I have lost fraternity brothers. I have Clayton's band that I wear around my arm because he was split in half by IED on Christmas Day. And his wife and his daughter, it's just terrible. And one of my fraternity brothers was there who had to pick up his body and get him out of there. And I say these things to you all so you can get an understanding of the impact that this has had on our country. So now he has a wife and a son that is growing up without him. If I remember correctly, that was December 25th, 2006. I have a memorial bracelet. If you see a lot of veterans with these black aluminum bracelets on, or red aluminum bracelets, that's what we're wearing. So between him, Paul Sweeney, young private first class that I promoted to specialist before I left Germany, killed in combat. I ran into a buddy of mine back in 2014, John Vest, who was an infantry platoon leader with me, and he was telling me about all of the guys that I served with as a infantry lieutenant that were dead. This war the last 20 years has wreaked havoc on our country financially, lives lost, people who have been rendered limbless, rendered paraplegic, quadriplegic, and all sorts of things, PTSD, you know, all of the different things that we suffer and struggle with. I've buried more people than I can probably count and knocked on more doors as a chaplain than I could probably count. So be grateful if you're able to sit in the pew. Most of the times we as a people, we're not a patriotic people because of the things that have happened to us in this country. But be grateful for the fact that we still have a country. And every single fight that we're in, from the very fight, the same night that Paul Revere was riding saying the British was coming, there was a black, free black man riding who was a Methodist or Presbyterian minister giving the same message. His name is not listed. The very first man to die was who? In the Revolutionary War, I've stood at the site where he died, Crispus Attucks. We are the burden bearers of this country. We always have, and the way that it's going, it looks like it's always gonna be that way. But God put us here for a reason. We're the rhythm and blues of this nation. If this nation didn't have black folks, it wouldn't have a pulse. And we're thankful for all of the contributions that anybody in your family who was military, if they were firefighters or if they've been police officers. I've been fortunate enough to serve in two of those fields. So thank you so much for being patriots. Thank you for supporting the patriots. And thank you for all that you do. Would the ushers please come? Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will not open you up in the storehouse of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you would not have a room enough to receive. Amen. So thankful for these acts of giving. Lord, now increase this offering to increase this church and use this offering faithfully. We will do this as stewards in your church. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us stand for the doxology. Thank you so much, ushers, and make sure I get a tie and a handkerchief. I'll pay for mine. Y'all just let me know where y'all got them from, because y'all look good and I want to look good too. Thank you so much. Seriously though, just let me know. All right, we'll now move forward and worship with our choir. Thank you. we are thankful for this day and this hour of preaching. Give to me, Lord, preaching power. Use the words that you've given me to bless your people. Use me to bring glory to your name. Now hide me behind the shadow of your cross that I might be able to preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wednesday, April 25th, 2018, the news broadcasted that in a plain brown building sits an office run by the Alabama Board of Pardons and Paroles, a place where people will be held accountable for their crimes and duly expressed remorse. Then it went on to state that just a few yards up the street lies a different kind of rehabilitation center for a country that has not been held nearly to the same standard. So, on Thursday, April 26, 2018, in Montgomery, Alabama, the National Memorial for Peace and Justice, which opens Thursday on a six-acre site overlooking Alabama State Capitol, is dedicated to the victims of American white supremacy. And it demands a reckoning with one of the nation's least recognized atrocities, the lynching of thousands of black people in a decades-long campaign of racist terror. It is the nation's first memorial dedicated to the legacy of enslaved black people. People terrorized by lynching. African Americans humiliated by racial segregation and by Jim Crow, and people of color burdened with contemporary presumptions of guilt and police violence. But 1,048 miles away in New York City, this country erected the 9/11 memorial dedicated to the events of September 11, 2001, when radical Islamic terrorists, I'm going to say that one more time, radical Islamic terrorists attacked this country. The destruction of the World Trade Center and the Twin Towers spiraled this country into a 20-year global campaign known as GWAT, the Global War on Terror. Now, you may wonder by now what these two events have in common. There are two points on a map, Montgomery and New York. Yet two events in a time and space continuum bound by immorality and atrocity. Theodore Parker said, not Dr. King, Theodore Parker said it. Dr. King quoted Theodore Parker when he said, "The moral arc of the universe bends, and it bends towards what? Justice." There are three types of theological justice that we find in the Holy Bible. There is restorative justice. Restorative justice is when you've done something wrong. And when you've done that wrong thing, what happens is you have to sit down and you have to pay for it. But what they're doing is to try to restore you back to society. Then there's retributive justice. That's when what you've done wrong comes back and comes back upon you, where justice comes back and dwells upon you. Someone got in trouble years ago, probably over 50 years ago, Malcolm X. He said that the chickens had come home to roost. That's retributive justice. And then there's the most important, divine justice. Divine justice is the justice of God. God is a just God. And when God sits on the throne as the judge, he requires justice. And something has to happen when there's a wrong in the universe. When we commit more wrong through sin, there has to be an action. But fortunate enough for us, there was a cross, the shedding of blood, and there's been a stay of execution. My brothers and sisters, we are so angry when we press our nose up against the fence of white America and we look over that fence and we see the lynchings that have been done, the emasculation of our black men, the horror atrocities, the things they used to do to black female slaves, taking all of their milk so they couldn't feed their babies, being raped, being maligned, being treated horribly all day long. Our noses are pressed up against the fence because we want divine justice. We want retributive justice. We want justice. But yet white America press their noses against the fence of democracy, and they acted out and met upon that exact thing that came back against them when the Twin Towers were destroyed because of American military power. They used American military power to meet and enact justice. It's because they have the power in this country to meet and enact justice upon all of their foes. But what do we as the powerless do? Well, you think that you're powerless. We are not a powerless people. The power of the black community has always resided in these four walls, the church. The problem these days is that we're being dissuaded and we're compromising. You can look around this room and see the empty areas that we have in here. People no longer think about the church as the power broker. Who do they think is the power broker? Let me show you. T.I., Killer Mike. If you don't know who those two people are, those of you that got a little gray in your hair, I'm gonna say with a strong suggestion, you look them up. T.I. and Killer Mike are now the spokesmen for the black community. And I got a problem with that, and I'm gonna tell you why. Their lyrics would leave you to believe that there is no need for education, there is no need for a man in a home, there is no need for black excellence unless you are a football player, basketball player, entertainer, or rapper, or if you, let's just say, change into an outfit and you work late nights in a gentleman's club. I won't mess that up too bad. I hope you're following me. The people that used to hold and have a voice in our community now are voiceless. The doctors, the lawyers, they're no longer looked up to. You've got the most immoral people on the planet speaking up for our community. When did this thing happen? When did this thing change? We've gone from Dr. King to Killer Mike. We've gone to Dr. King to T.I. I'm not saying that T.I. is a bad guy. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that we are putting the power of our community in the wrong hands. And that's why our seats are empty. I would ask that you would follow along with me and turn in your Bibles to the first chapter of Mark. The first chapter of Mark. Get that, say amen. I'm gonna read for you 8 verses. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts. He did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I would like to use as a subject for the purpose of preaching and teaching, let's straighten it out. Now, I know y'all good saved folks. I did a little research for y'all. And there's a song. And it starts off by saying, sit yourself down, girl. Oh, you know it. That wasn't water in your cup, was it? Tell me what's on your mind. There's a gentleman, a blues singer, is singing about a fractured relationship between a man and a woman. And he's trying to fix it. He's trying to straighten it out. There is a fractured relationship between humanity and divinity. The fractured relationship came because Eve sinned first, and then Adam. By following along with what Eve had had planned. And ladies, I'm not blaming y'all. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just establishing a footwork, a grounding. When Eve gave Adam that piece of fruit, and Adam bit it, the very first question was asked in the Bible. Hath God said? Whenever we begin to question God, whenever we begin to debase authority, whenever we allow the TIs and Killer Mikes of the world to be the spokesman for our people, that's when we begin to have a problem. Because the question then comes along, has God said that? Is there any authority in the Bible? Who are you to speak for me? That's when we begin to start having problems and develop fracturing in our community. No husbands in the house. Well, the ladies, y'all don't call him that anyway. He a baby daddy. No longer mothers. That's just my baby mama. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Grandparents not only be called grandmama and granddaddy. No. Call me G-mommy. Baby receptions for 12-year-old girls. Ain't no shame. My mama told me. Proud of me being born, in order for her to come back to Friendship Baptist Church, they marched her up to the front of the church, and she had to apologize for what she did. While my daddy was off doing whatever down at Tuskegee, that school over there. It was okay. It was all right, because everything that goes on in our country is okay now. We have become a shameless country. Shameless. I know everybody in here probably has somebody in their family that has those problems. But it's me. I'm that person. All of us are responsible for our current state of what's going on in Black America. The disenfranchising and the fracturing of our country. The Christ of the Bible was about a spiritual and a social change, a radical introduction to what is righteous for the human spirit and for the human soul. Because if God can use us to change men and women and boys and girls, we can change a cold, cruel world. First Church, we are the faithful. I see the same faces every week, day in, day out. We the team. It's us. Nobody else is going to come and put their hands on the plow and get behind that mule and hoe that row. It's us. So in order for us to be us, to be First Church, to be the church that the Lord wants us to be, we've got to do experiencing God so we can have a relationship with the folks that's on our team.
and the team leader. Because I'm not the team leader. I'm just the captain of the team. The big boss, he's the team leader. So how do we straighten things out in our community? This text offers for us some unusual considerations for straightening things out in our community. There's a word that is used in this text for the first time. You will see it in the Gospels. The book of Mark is the oldest gospel. The book of Mark, John Mark was the disciple. John Mark was from North Africa. This book was carried to Africans. He left and went to what is now known as Northern Africa, which is probably an area between Egypt and Ethiopia, to spread the gospel after Jesus died. He went back home. And all that argument that you hear these days from these Hebrew Israelites and all the rest of these folks talking about this, that, and the other, about what color Jesus was and all of these other foolish things that's going on. Our first religion as a people was Judaism. And then we became converted in West Africa. When we were brought over as slaves, the majority of us were monotheistic, meaning we believed in one God. And when we believed in one God, the pluralistic belief structure, polytheistic belief structure, many belief structured other people in Africa sold us out. Because we believed in one God. We knew the fact that who Jesus was and he was Lord. And so they grabbed us and corralled us off and pushed us on the other side of Africa on the eastern shore, put us in the hull of a slave ship in chains, carried us in the bottom of a slave ship all the way over to the other side. And I know that TV show is out now that talks about all those other gods, and the guy shows up and talks to the guy, and he's supposed to be an African god, and he does all this talking, whatever else. That's a lie. We have a God. He's Jesus. And we've been believing in Jesus a long time. There's a book I challenge you to read that's called We Have Been Believers. We have been believers in who Jesus was. Jesus is Lord of our lives. Jesus was Lord when we were in slavery. He's going to be Lord out of slavery. And he's going to be Lord a long time more after that. But this text that we have, that Mark has written us, is telling us about the coming of Jesus and the preparation that needs to take place to fix the fracture. So these are some instructions to the church, and I want to give you a few of them. The first thing that I noticed in this text that was rather peculiar was the word that he used was gospel. This word means, well, this word has a military meaning, and I got excited behind that. Because the word gospel is basically just like on the movie 300. Who's seen the movie 300? Go home and watch it if you haven't seen it. In the movie 300, King Leonidas is the head Spartan. He's the king of Sparta. And along comes from Xerxes one of his messengers. This messenger comes up and he brings and lets him know, hey, we coming. You've been defeated. Well, we just trying to give you an opportunity to go ahead and surrender, because we got an army of about 1 million folks coming your way. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news that there's a messenger coming and there's already a defeated foe. Every day that you get up and you get up out of your bed and you put your feet on the floor, you ought to have the same pride as any person in the American military fighting force, whether it be the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, or the Marine Corps, any of those. Because we're the baddest show in town. But Jesus is the baddest show in the universe. And all of us are enlisted. All of us are commissioned in this army. And when you're in this army and when you're operating in this army, there is no need to have any fear, no need to have any worry, no need to have any doubt or regret by the fact that you are one of his soldiers, sailors, or airmen, whatever one you want to be in. But just know the fact that we are fighting a foe that has already been defeated. Cavalry defeated Satan. Now what we are experiencing is what we call the tail still wagging. Yeah, you cut the head off of a snake. I'm from the country. You cut the head off a snake, what still happened? He's still wagging. That's why, yeah, we killed Osama bin Laden, but what happened? We still got small terrorist sects still performing operations out there. The tail is still wagging. And that's why the church exists. Cancer, the tail's still wagging. Unsaved folks, the tail's still wagging. Debt, the tail's still wagging. The tail is still wagging in our community. Y'all got killing after killing after killing after killing in Montgomery. And we have not yet, as black preachers, put in any plan to help out these police officers. The tail is still wagging. That's why I told B, I want to know who the sheriff is. I want to know who the police chief is so I can bathe them in my oil. So they cup could run off over. And we talking about we don't snitch. That's a lie. That Negro is right there. Get him out. Because the day he come back and rape one of your daughters or sell dope to your grandbaby and the tail still wags, and when the tail wags and hits you and the fangs bite you that time, then you gonna want a tail. But right now it ain't bothering me. We have got to do something in our community and tell our community about this gospel. First Church is the place to do that. The United States Navy uses aircraft carriers as power projection platforms. Several months ago, when I said in an interview with y'all, I said I want the First Church to be a power projection platform for the gospel. That when folks see First Church coming, the devil gets scared. I'm tired. My daughter's boyfriend killed. I'm tired. Tired of seeing these little black boys just as dumb as they can be. Britches hanging off their rear end, looking stupid. Our girls, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, belly swole up with a baby. And the daddy ain't gonna be around, and we like think it's okay. Videos, folks shaking their tails in Walmart, like it's all right. Now there's a difference between comedy and stupidity. The gospel is not stupidity, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power unto salvation to whom everyone who believeth. First to the Jew, black folks, then to the mother folks. It was us first, protos. We are primate, we are first. We are first on the foremost thoughts of God's mind every day. And the gospel is the message that will fix everything. He also says, make the path straight in the military. In the military, yeah, it's Patriots Day. I get to talk about one of the favorite things I love to talk about. In the military, when we attack a defensive position, 9 times out of 10, around that defensive position, they're going to have an obstacle. When we're in the offense and we're attacking a defensive position, 9 times out of 10, they are dug in. And they have an obstacle around their position, whether it be concertina wire, that's razor wire, that's the technical name for razor wire, whether it be barbed wire, whether it be a pit, mines, whatever it be, it might be. We have to go in and we conduct what is called a SOSR drill, S-O-S-R, suppress, obscure, secure, and reduce. We reduce the obstacle. The engineers are the ones that come in. I know y'all probably have seen the pictures of the war where this big old tank comes up and it shoots out this long hook and pulls it out and draws it in on the other side. That way the troops can move through the obstacle safely and securely and be able to attack the position that they're coming on. One more time. They throw out this hook, clear the obstacle out of the way, so that people can walk on it and get by safely. First Church, that's the picture that I want us to have about us. We're obstacle reducers. We want to pull down all the obstacles that are coming in our way in our community. That's why we exist as a team. That's why we exist as church. That's why we've got all these task forces. Don't give an old army colonel something that is called a task force. Y'all get me motivated. Because I'm going to put you to work. That might be the reason why a lot of folks don't come to church, because they know they're going to have to work here or y'all gonna get rid of me because I'm a worker. I believe that Lord's Church is a working church. It is a moving church. It is an active church. It fixes things. It suppresses obstacles. We need the obstacles down. What is this little girl in the, with the blue ribbon in her hair going to do one day? What is she going to do if we leave our community the same way that it is and we don't reduce obstacles? We've got to pull down the obstacles. How do we pull down the obstacles? I'm glad you asked. There's four ways we're going to remove these obstacles. One, all of these things cost. It's going to cost us our identity. Verse 1, we see that the good news is coming about a victory campaign. Armies march in hope of victory, but we march knowing that the war has already been won. Black people have been told too many times what we are. We're often referred to as being marginalized. Listen to this, you black. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. You this, you that, you the other. The other thing they like to do to us is qualify or quantify us. They won't use certain words. For instance, football players. They see the white quarterback, he throw the ball. What is the first thing they say? Oh, look at that brilliant move. Jalen Hurt does the same thing. He's so athletic. United States Army, for years, they labeled me. They told me all the time. They said, well, Chaplain Spencer, he isn't as pastoral as the other chaplains. I know. They try to put a label on us. They try to identify us and put us into a box. But God has identified you and who you are. Disciple, that's who you are. Evangelist, that's who you are. Preacher, that's who you are. Teacher, that's who you are. Deacon, that's who you are. Deaconess, that's who you are. Trustee, that's who you are. When you go to school, you ain't stupid. Student, that's what you are. Judge, that's what you are. Start finding an identity for yourself and stop letting America create an identity crisis for you. We need to come together and be a cohesive team and say, I am on God's side and I am one of his soldiers. That's why we have name tags. I used to walk past them British soldiers all the time with my chest poked out, with my nose in the air. 10 crumpets, old boy. I'm like, you guys forgot y'all lost the war. I don't hold my head down when I walk past these dope dealers. Hold your head up just because he got money. Tell him to read a book. Tell him to identify himself. Tell him to come to First Church. We have to identify ourselves. Stop having an identity crisis. Your identity crisis is no crisis at all, because the more you read the Bible, the more you do experiencing God, the more you find out knowing and doing the will of God, you will find out that what? I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, God abides in you. And if somebody abides in you, that means that they're your daddy. So you are a son and or a daughter of the king. Second point. It's going to cost us our time. Verses 2 and 3. We see that there is costly work ahead of us. The text says, make straight his paths. The text says, clear the road. Clear the road. Do you know what type of time it is or what type of time it takes to do the work of the church? There's a lovely gentleman sitting in here right behind Deacon Martin who took the time out from his sick wife to make sure we got a TV, got the TV hung up, called the company to hang up the TV, came back and forth, and is digging a hole outside. Well, he ain't digging it, but them folks that, when we take up that money and use that stewardship, that's what he's doing. He takes that money up, and then we take it and do the things that we need to do in the church. It's going to require our time. Time, tithe, and talent. We want your time. I need your time. I'm begging you. I need your time. I need your tithe and I need your talent. All of you all have a talent. We need those things here. If we're going to make these paths straight, it's going to take our time to clear up a path. I like to deer hunt. Down on my grandparents' family property, my granddaddy's property down in Utah, Alabama. There we had a wonderful pond. And we used to have to run all around and cut through the woods to get to this pond, whatever else. And then when you get to the pond, by the time you done rustled up and everything, all the deer gone. Well, that ain't no good for me. So, me being who I am, I called up Alabama Power, because they like to cut down trees. And I told them, I said, hey, I need you to go in here. And they sell the trees back so that they can make money. So they cut me a mile-long path between the road and to that pond where I could get to the deer. They cut me a mile-long path from the road to the pond to get to that deer, to those deer that would come in on the pond. All I'm saying is it took some time. It took some effort. It took some work. It took some resources that I did not have, but I was smart enough to call upon the person who had the resources. We've got the biggest resource on the planet. The defense spending budget for the United States is over $5 trillion. But I know who has the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know who to call upon. And I need your help. I need your time. I need your prayer life. So we can all call upon the name of the Lord and get him involved in the work that we need to do here. It's going to cost our time. The third thing it's going to cost, it's going to cost you your voice. In verses 4 and 5, we see John the Baptist. He's out there telling folks what's going on. Hey, somebody's coming. Hey, this is who this man is going to be. Hey, I need to tell y'all about who this person is. It's going to cost you your voice. It's going to cost you your voice. You're going to have to open your mouth and tell someone about First Church. Not just the internet, not just anything on social media, not a text message, phone calls, seeing people face to face, making contact. That's how we straighten out our paths. We've got to get out there and tell people that there's a dying world. But you got to use your voice. I know some of y'all is shy and don't like to talk, but you've got to. You've got to. You've got to share the gospel. That's how we share the gospel, with our voice. Last thing, it's going to cost you your dignity. John the Baptist, he talks about his diet. He ate locusts and honey. And no, he did not eat the insects, because that would not have been in accordance with Levitical law. What we're finding out is locust was a plant during that time with little bitty pods in them. Basically, it was like a snap pea. Y'all, come on now, I'm in Montgomery. Y'all don't know what snap peas are? It was a snap pea. Snap peas and honey. He had a basic, simple diet. He was a humble man. He wore camel skin. Now, I don't know if you ever seen a camel. Me and my wife have had the opportunity to ride on the back of camels. Camels stink horribly, and they will spit on you, and they will bite you. The camel that my pretty wife was on bit me. I guess he didn't like the fact he thought he got jealous. Camel's hair, rough, horribly smelled camel's hair. It's going to cost you your dignity. Dignity. Cost you your time, cost you your identity, cost you your voice, but it's going to cost you your dignity. What are you willing to do? Who are you willing to become to make sure First Church is successful? I get up 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and make my way down here because I love you all. I'm begging my wife, as soon as that boy get out the house, go to college, we can move down here so I can love on y'all some more. What are you willing to become? What is it going to cost for you to be what God really wants you to be? You see that? That old rugged cross where they whooped him all night long? That old rugged cross? Because see, the pictures don't do it justice. Jesus was a rabbi. A man was supposed to have a beard. Psalm 22, they pulled his beard out of his face. They platted thorns and pressed them into his head. They scourged him with the Roman Latin word used, flagellum, with fish hooks on it and pieces of lead and broken bones and different things, split his back wide open where his ribs were showing. That's what it says in Psalm 22. They stripped him naked, totally naked, not a loincloth that you see on the cute crucifixes. And he lost all of his dignity. What is it going to cost you? It costs a lot. My brothers and sisters, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The doors of the church are open. Is there somebody out here today that's willing to pay the cost and walk down the aisle? That's all it takes. The doors of the church are open. Man, woman, boy, or girl, the doors of the church are open. Will there be one? Last week I told you about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, The Cost of Discipleship. Great book, great meditative book, if you like to read. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, The Cost of Discipleship. There's cheap grace and costly grace. I want us to move towards being people that believe in costly grace. The doors of the church are open. Will there be one? Please keep in prayer our any fallen soldier, any fallen police officer, any fallen firefighter. If you know a family that has a police officer, military, or firefighter, give them a call today, especially somebody who's deployed. I've been deployed on numerous occasions, and even though I loved my job, I didn't like being away from my family. So it's serious. It's serious. You miss out on a whole lot. Come home and you got cousins, you ain't little cousins, and they're running from you because they don't know who you are. The doors of the church are open. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Our moderator before us told me to make sure that I mention she appreciates all of your thoughts and your prayers and everything that you all are doing. She said she doesn't need anything. She got a house full of food. She said you would think she was the Queen of England because she's got so many cards and flowers in the front room. And so she just sends out her love to everybody and love to you all. Thank you so much. You can go ahead and open the doors, and will the acolyte come? Let us stand. Receive the benediction. Dear Lord, we are thankful that your Son came and made the paths straight, dear Lord. We've been commanded to keep a straight path, not only in our lives, but in our community. So Lord, use First Church in a mighty way. Bless us with path straightening capabilities. Lord, grant us your peace and us your love. Dismiss us from this place, but never from your holy presence. May the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with his children now, henceforth, and forevermore. And we all sing.